You want to turn to Romans 5, 12 through 21. That's the passage we're going to be looking at this morning. I want you to read it for yourself, what God has to say to you. Since it is Halloween season, Halloween's on Friday, I thought I would remind you of one spooky family. Maybe you remember this.
And spooky, they're all together ooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Everybody.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
I really can't snap, I just act like I'm snapping. I don't know why I've never been able to snap, but that's just the way it is. I've always loved watching the Addams Family. Here's a family that has no idea that the way they live is completely different from everybody else. They are focused on death and the macabre, and it's not normal. They have a hand living in a box that's severed and it walks around. They sleep in coffins. They like their home nice and gloomy. The kids play with snakes and lizards as toys. They like torturing one another, and it's a hobby. They eat spiders and scorpions for snacks, and they have no idea that is not how everybody else lives. They have no realization that they were made for the light and not the dark. They were made for life and not for death. Maybe your neighborhood is like my neighborhood, where now all the front yards are filled with images of death, zombies, skeletons, ghosts, a focus on death. Darkness, it's celebrated. Unfortunately, many in our world today are in the same boat as the Addams Family was in. They're part of the family of Adam. I want us to look at two families this morning. One family is a family of death, and the other family is a family of life. Each and every one of us have a choice of what family we will be in. Let's take a look at the first family, a family of Adam. Paul tells us about this family in Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin with verses 12 through 14. Romans 5, starting with verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin, indeed, was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. The Addams Family is a family of death. The Addams Family is a family of death. Adam, through the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, sinned. And through this one sin, he brought sin and death into the world. It's what we call original sin. The sin of Adam is passed down to his children and their children and to all generations after them, including you and me. Kind of like a DNA that's passed down from generation to generation. We see the evidence of this through Adam's children, Cain and Abel. We have the first murder that took place. And Adam and Eve's own children. Then we see it in the story of Noah. God wipes the slate clean. He starts everything over again using a righteous family and a righteous man. And what happens as soon as Adam gets off the boat? He gets drunk. And he shames himself and his family. Original sin. God tried to point people to their sin, help improve the situation by using the law given to Moses. But that did not work. Man's sin just increased. Sin continues today and continues to cause death and destruction. It is sin that causes heartache and suffering in individuals and families and communities and cities and nations. It is a disease worse than COVID, a disease worse than cancer, because it always leads to death. There's a limerick that points fun at evolutionists, but also it brings home the point of the consequences of original sin. Imagine three monkeys sitting in a tree. Three monkeys, once dining in a coconut tree, were discussing some things that they heard to be true. What do you think? Now listen, you two, here monkeys, is something that cannot be true. That humans descended from our pure race. Why, it's simply shocking, a terrible disgrace. Who ever heard of a monkey deserting his wife? Leave a baby to starve and ruin its life. And have you ever known a mother monkey to leave her darling with a stranger to bunk? These babies are handed from one to another, scarce ever known the love of a mother. And I've never known a monkey so selfish as to build a fence around a coconut tree so others monkeys couldn't get a wee taste, but would let all the coconuts here go to waste. Why, if I'd put up a fence around this coconut tree, starvation would force you to steal from me. And here is another thing a monkey won't do. Seek a bootlegger shanty and get in a stew. Carouse and go on a whoopee, disgracing his life. Then real madly at home, beat up his wife. They call this a pleasure and make a big fuss. Those humans have descended from something, but not from us. My dear friends, we have not descended from monkeys. We've descended from Adam. And we have felt and have been ravaged by the consequences of sin. We live in a world where we call sin normal and have accepted it as a way that it just is. God does not desire us to live that way, just the opposite. Pastor Daniel Mayer talks about traveling to Ecuador several years ago and sending a mission team up into the Andes Mountains, into the rainforest, and they sought out tribes that had not had any contact with people, unreached people groups, and they came upon one tribe called the Curacha Indians, and they were incredibly shaken by what they saw. For these Indians lived amongst disease and they were disfigured. Their camp was filled with bugs and a stench. There was rotten food just discarded everywhere. There was trash everywhere. In their homes were just pits that they had dug out, and it was filled with just items that they had taken from other people, disregarded and trash, and they called it their own possession. And there in the camp was human waste that they lived amongst. And they had no idea that that was no way to live, because it was all they ever knew. This is how we live when we call sin in our lives normal. We are living in Adam's family. God has called us to life, not to death. I want you to listen to the tone change as we read the next scripture. Look at verse 15. But. It's always a good thing when one of the scriptures start with but. The free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. God's family is a family of life. God's family is a family of life. The scripture says that just one man, Adam, brought so much death, but Jesus brings life. Through one man, sin and death was brought into the world, but through one man, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift is given to man. The gift of grace. The gift of life. And it says that this great gift overflows to many. Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross allows us to be adopted from Adam's family and to be adopted into the family of Christ. We're pulled from a family cursed from sin and death and suffering and hurt and injustice. And He places us in a family full of love, forgiveness, and grace. We can be plucked out of our sin and what the world calls as normal and be called into His glorious family with all its riches and its changes who we are and our destiny. Look at what God's family looks like. Look at verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. God's family chooses justification over judgment. God's family chooses justification over judgment. Where one act of sin brought condemnation and judgment in Adam's family, Jesus's one act of love on the cross brings justification. That's a big word. Justification. Many don't even know what it means. Justification means to be declared righteous. To be declared righteous. Or you can think of it this way. Justification means just as if I never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. It does not mean that judgment didn't happen. God is a righteous, holy God. He's fair. He's just. So a punishment must be given when sin happens. When the law has been broken. When God's righteous ways have been crossed, spit upon, broken. It has to be dealt with. And so Jesus took that punishment. But the result of His act on the cross is our justification. Jesus paid the price so we could receive the credit. He took our identity on the cross so we could take His identity and get the credit. It's a case of switched identities. Ever been a victim of identity theft? It's a terrible, terrible thing. Identity theft occurs when somebody takes your name or your social security number or your bank account and those numbers or your credit card number, and they act like your stuff is their stuff. And it turns everything upside down. It's disheartening. It's unsettling to know that somebody has stolen your identity. But what Jesus does for us is not identity theft. It's an identity gift. It's just the opposite. You see, He took on our identity, our sin, our unrighteousness, our unholiness, our mistakes, our guilt, our shame, and He placed it on His identity. And He went to the cross. And He bore the punishment for our identity. But us, because of what Jesus did on the cross, if we will accept Him as Lord and Savior, we take on His identity. We take on His holiness. We take on His righteousness. We take on His holiness. I don't know about you, but that's a good gift to receive. I'll take that identity gift anytime. Being part of God's family allows us to take advantage of the identity gift, the gift of justification. Let's keep reading and see what else characterizes the family of God. Verse 17 and 18. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, if one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Here we see that God's family chooses power over weakness. God's family chooses power over weakness. We have all seen families who've been characterized by weakness, the inability to rise out of poverty, the inability to rise out of poor decisions. Maybe you've seen it where a family, the mother and the wife, they just make terrible decisions, whether it be about drugs and alcohol, whether it be about how they spend their money, whether it be whether they're unfaithful in their marriage relationship, whatever it might be, whether it might even be abuse. And who suffers the most from those actions? The children. And those children set in their mind, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to live differently. And what happens? Cycle continues. Many times those children just go ahead and they emulate and they copy the exact same behavior that their parents had. There's this inability to rise out of those good, out of those decisions. It's that original sin. It takes something beyond ourselves to be able to rise out of those cycles. Cycles of abuse, cycles of addiction, cycles of sexual immorality. We can't do it on our own. When we join the family of power instead of the family of weakness, we have the ability to transform not only our own lives, but the world around us. I saw an interview with Maria Shriver. She was a successful journalist, niece of the former president, JFK. Her and her family, they're world changers. They're involved in politics. They're involved in philanthropy, journalism. And they're just making a difference in the world. And there was this interview with her, and they asked her, what is it about your family that makes all those differences? And she recounted what would take place every night at dinner. Her parents would turn to each of the children and say, what have you done today to make the world a better place? How have you left the people that you met better than before they spent time with you? And that resonated with them and clearly has made a difference in that family. Isn't that a family you would want to be a part of? Adam's family, the family of sin, only looks out for oneself. It results in sin and self-centeredness and suffering. It ends in death. It is a life of weakness. And the scripture says death reigns through that family. But the family of God brings life for all men. The family of God brings power and strength and purpose, the power to change lives, to make people whom we come in contact with, their life better. We can make their lives better. We can be agents of change. Whose family would you rather be a part of? We find one more characteristic, the family of God, in verses 19 through 21. Read with me. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where the sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's family chooses righteousness over sin. Receive the good instead of the bad. Open the gift of godliness instead of godlessness. Adam made us all sinners. Christ is making us righteous. Do you see it? Don't miss it in those verses I just read. When we depend on ourselves to get better, we only get worse. But when we depend on Christ, He makes us better. He makes us righteous or good. We all want to be good people. We all know, though, it's impossible. Paul writes in Romans 3:10, "There is no one righteous. No, not one." People might call you good. You had that happen? "Oh, you're such a good person." They might say that, but you know deep down, you're not a good person. You know what you think. You know what your motives are. You know what you say under your breath when people drive you crazy. You know that you're selfish. There is no good in us. The only good in us is found in Christ. What can make us good? Many people thought the law could make us good. If we just follow the law, this passage tells us that all the law did was make us sin more. If you have a law to follow, you end up breaking those laws. You can't follow them. Why? Because we're bad. We're not good. We can't even follow our own laws that we set for ourselves. Why? We grew up in the family of Adam. It is only the grace of Christ that makes us better people. It is only when grace reigns that godliness increases. It is only through the grace of God that makes us good, that makes us righteous. It is only Christ that allows us to share in His righteousness and let goodness reign in our lives. He is the key ingredient. He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Many years ago, Pastor Clifford S. Stewart of Louisville, Kentucky, sent his parents a microwave back when those were the new thing. Remember that? Everybody was getting microwaves and giving them as gifts. And so he gave a gift to his aging parents, a microwave. Thought it would be great. And they were very excited about this new microwave. And they set it up on the counter and they plugged it in. Christmas time was gone. They left. And suddenly those smiles of his parents turned into frowns because they could not figure out how to use the microwave. And it just became a source of frustration for them. And the mother, during her bridge club, was talking to the other ladies and said, "You know, what I need for that microwave is not better directions. What I need to come along with the microwave is my son. My son can run the microwave." My friends, what we need for our lives to work is the son. Jesus Christ. He allows us to choose righteousness over sin. So now the question is before you, whose family are you part of? Adam's family or the family of God? You don't get to choose what family you're born into. We're all born into the family of Adam, but you do get to choose what family you'll spend eternity with. What family you could spend the rest of your life with here on this planet. Will you be part of Adam's family or God's family? Adam's family is characterized by death, judgment, weakness, and sin. God's family is characterized by life, justification, power, and righteousness. What family will you be part of? The choice is yours. Jesus died on the cross for you so you might be adopted into His family. But you have to make the move to make it happen. The ownership is on you. Lots of people know about the gospel. They know what Jesus did, but they never pull the trigger to make Jesus Lord of their life. Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Have you confessed your sin? Have you repented of your sin? Have you entered into a love relationship with Him and you follow Him? Whose family will you be part of? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You for the layout of this passage. You give a description of Adam's family and You give a description of Your family. Lord, we see the effects of Adam's family all around us. Even as Christians, even as people who've given their lives over, that sin still causes heartache in our lives sometimes. As we battle with the flesh. But Lord, if we are found in You, if we are found in Your family, the victory is ultimately Yours. We give You thanks for that. Lord, if there's somebody in this family, in this room here today that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, they're still in Adam's family today, I pray that they'll make that choice to enter Your family. That they'll make that choice to give their life to follow You. Lord, may we as Christians, may we walk in life and not death. May we not celebrate death and evil and darkness. But may everywhere we walk, may we be beacons of light in a world of darkness. Not just on Friday, on Halloween, but all year round. May each of us ask ourselves, what can we do to bring others into the family of God? What can we do to introduce people to Jesus Christ, who longs to bring them into the family, who died on the cross so we might tell others about Him? Even as we pray, I want you to think of one person's name that you know is in Adam's family. And they're facing the consequences of sin and death and poor choices in their life right now. What can you do, even this week, to be a light in their world of darkness? Share Christ, to have a spiritual conversation with them, to tell them God wants you and His family. May we be lights in a world of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing about the family of God. It's a short chorus, but I want you to revel in the words that we are part of the family of God. I'll be down front if you want to pray. I'd love to pray with you.